Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, greetings to the Beacon Broadcast on this Wednesday, August 3. And let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 4, and we're going to take a close look at verse 18 in just a moment. Before we do, let me encourage you to write for our Sermon of the Month, number 8, entitled, The Faith That Honors God. The Faith That Honors God, the text is Matthew 8, 1 through 13, and it is our gift to those who write and give us the call letters of your station in order that we might have some concept of the response to the Beacon Broadcast as it goes out on a number of stations. So, write to us, or to me, Greg Barkman, the Beacon Broadcast, P.O. Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Request Sermon of the Month number 8. Give us your name and return address in the call letters of this station, and we'll be delighted to send you a copy of this message. Well, what are we looking at in Romans 4:18? It says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This, of course, is talking to us about Abraham, that great father of the Jewish nation, that father of all believers, that father of all who trust in God. And we can learn a great deal about the faith that pleases God from the life of Abraham. Now, Romans, you know, is the book of the Gospel, and chapters 1, 2, and 3 are primarily devoted to demonstrating the universal need for the Gospel. And then in the last part of chapter 3, about verses 21 and following, Paul begins to lay down clearly the doctrine of justification by faith alone, which in chapter 4 is illustrated from the life of Abraham. And so in chapter 4, we see Abraham's justification by faith apart from works, verses 1 through 8, justification by faith apart from circumcision, verses 9 through 12, justification apart from the law, verses 13 through 17, and now justification by faith apart from sight, verses 18 through 21, faith, not sight. And again, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And so in this we learn something of the nature of biblical faith, and a description of biblical faith in action. Faith which is believing the revelation of God, and of course acting accordingly, because it is not true faith unless that faith directs our thoughts and words and actions. Now, first of all, we need to recognize that there was a great impediment to Abraham's faith. When the Bible tells us who against hope believed in hope, that against hope is reminding us that there was a great death of hope in Abraham's life. In other words, he had to fight against what his eyes saw, what circumstances revealed to him, in order to believe the promises of God. For God had made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations, which means the father of a multitude. Abram's very name meant honorable father. Abram, father of man, or honorable father. Abraham, father of a multitude. But of course, the problem was Abraham and Sarah couldn't produce one child. Sarah had been barren all of her life. And now on top of her lifelong barrenness, she had reached an advanced age. which made it physically and biologically impossible for her to have a child. Abraham himself had now reached an advanced age in which he did not think it was possible for himself to produce a child. And so there had been the passing of many years between the time that God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and the time when that promise began to be fulfilled. In fact, there was at least 25 or more years involved. And that is a great impediment to faith. When what God has said seems impossible, we find it very difficult to believe. And that's why Romans 4:18 says, "Who, against hope, believed in hope." And I don't need to tell you that Abraham is not the only one who has some obstacles to his faith, for we do as well. There is the prevailing skepticism of our age. We swim in a world that is skeptical regarding things spiritual, particularly if we're talking about biblical Christianity. I'm not saying that the age in which we live does not talk about spirituality. In fact, there are a lot of people in our day and time that will talk about being very spiritual, but usually what they mean by that, if you listen to them, is that they have sort of a mystical disposition. They're spiritual, meaning they think that they are connected to the universe, or they think that they are connected to their ancestors, or they have these kind of mystical ideas that have nothing to do with the Bible. But when you start talking about biblical Christianity, you will find that most of the people in our day and age are not favorable. They are not believers. They are not going to encourage you in your biblical faith. In fact, unfortunately, even many people who attend church and call themselves Christians don't really want anything to do with solid biblical Christianity. And that becomes an impediment to our faith. We are going to, like Abraham, have to hope against hope. But even worse than the skepticism of our age is the depravity of our hearts. We are all sons and daughters of Adam. We are all born into sin. We are all born into unbelief. Now, if by the grace of God we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, then of course all of that has changed. But that does not mean that all of the elements of our Adamic nature have been entirely eradicated. They have not. They have not. Now, it may be that I'm talking to somebody today who believes in the eradication of the old nature, who believes in entire sanctification here in this life, who believes in sinless perfection. You believe it's possible, maybe even you claim to have reached that state. And I will just simply say to you, I am convinced that any such hope is a delusion. It is a misunderstanding. It is a misinterpretation of Scripture. I do know that there are Scriptures that might lead one to think these things are possible if you do not take into account the entire biblical record, and that will help you to understand what some of these statements mean that might lead you to think that it's possible to be sinlessly perfect when in fact it is not. And furthermore, I have had the experience of talking to a number of such people over the course of my lifetime. When I say a number, I don't suppose I've talked to more than 10 or 12 in all of my days that I was aware of that I talked about this subject to, and that told me that they had arrived at a state of sinless perfection. But those 10 or 12 that I have talked to, I have been able to talk to in some cases long enough until it became abundantly clear to me that they were self-deceived. They had not reached any such state at all. In fact, usually, if you would even question their claim, you were likely to get a very carnal, angry reaction. That didn't seem like sinless perfection to me at all. seemed like unrighteous anger, the kind of anger that is not sanctioned by the Word of God. And of course, people who claim to have arrived at sinless perfection almost always have dumbed sin down, if you know what I mean. They've reduced the biblical definition of sin to just a few things which are a little more easily manageable. What they mean is that they aren't committing adultery, they aren't murdering anybody, they aren't currently living a lie or lying to anybody that they know of, they're not stealing from anybody that they know of. In other words, they take some of the major commandments and agree that they have reached a state where they're not committing any of those sins, but the sins of the heart, the sins of the disposition, the sins of attitude, the sins of failure to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength and to love our neighbor as ourself, and the sins of envy and jealousy and anger and gossip and ill will are not conquered, and I don't know anybody who has conquered them permanently, though many people have conquered them for good, significant periods of time, and we thank the Lord for that. It is possible, surely, to live at a higher level of spiritual attainment than what most Christians do live at. Thank God for that possibility, and we ought to all strive for it. But sinless perfection, no. And therefore, because of the lingering sin in our own hearts, sin at its root is basically unbelief, not fully believing the Word of God, and therefore, we are seeing impediments to faith within our own heart, let alone within the world around us. And then, of course, there's the impediment of what I might call misplaced faith, earthly hope. People who believe in human goodness when the Bible teaches the opposite. People who believe in human potential when the Bible teaches the opposite. People who believe in human wisdom when the Bible teaches us that the wisdom of man is foolishness and only the wisdom of God is true. And so when we misplace our hope, we eventually misplace our faith. And it fails. And hope dies. When we believe in the potential of human goodness and we are continually disappointed, then hope dies. And when we believe in the possibility of human potential to achieve what only God's grace can achieve, then eventually, when we see that isn't going to happen, our hope dies. And when we believe in the possibility and in the reality of human wisdom to solve the problems of this world, and eventually we realize that there is not that kind of human wisdom, then hope dies. And so we have to rise above that, and like Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, we too need actually to see all earthly hopes die before Bible faith can be exercised. We must see hope in everything that is not the Word of God come to an end before we will truly believe in the Word of God. Like Abraham, who had to stop believing in the possibility of God fulfilling his promise through Hagar before God would fulfill his promise through his wife Sarah. We too must stop doing it the human way if we're going to see God do it in his way, and before we're going to believe in God's fulfillment of his promise. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.